Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
This morning in the reading that we have from the book of Joshua, we find ourselves at one of those very rare times in the Bible where the time of uncertainty, the time of anxiety, the time of wandering in the wilderness has actually come to an end. And the Hebrew people are right there on the cusp of the promised land. So much of our time in Holy Scripture and in our lives is spent in those wilderness times. It seems surreal to find ourselves right there at the time when we're about to be in the promised land. But it's so interesting to reflect on what that liminal space looks like between all of the wandering and the uncertainty and entering into that new place that God calls us to. One thing that is left out of the lectionary reading today that is critically important is that just as God had calmed the Red Sea, parted the sea so that the Hebrew people could leave Egypt, God dries up the Jordan River, which wasn't quite so impressive since it's not a massive river, it's more like a creek, so you know, that wasn't quite the miracle. But he dries up the Jordan River for the people to enter into the promised land. But not to have big parties and to rejoice, although we hear today that they are celebrating the Passover feast. But they enter into the promised land, and then Joshua calls for all of the males to be circumcised. Joshua calls for all of his warriors entering into hostile territory to become incapacitated. Just when they think that they're at the promised land, that all of that wandering and uncertainty and all of that pain is finally at an end, there is yet another obstacle for them to overcome, another way that they have to only trust in God instead of on their own providence, their own provisions. We know that they've been grumbling for 40 years about the manna that they had to eat. And so there's rightful attention called today to the fact that they get to eat the crops of the land of Canaan. How exciting is that? They finally get to eat something other than manna. But the reality is there's only going to be so long that they can eat the crops that they find there before they're going to have to work for their food, where before they're going to have to till the land and farm, and they are going to have to provide their own food. So the promised land that they've been looking forward to for so many years, when they actually get there, presents new challenges of pain, new challenges of trust, and ultimately new challenges of how they will come to be fed in their new life in the Lord. When we are going through times of uncertainty, wilderness times in our own lives, there are a variety of different ways that we can move into those experiences. This Lent, I have been preaching often on this because there's a lot of uncertainty and change in our congregation right now and in the lives of so many people. You'll remember that early in Lent, we talked about Jesus being called into the wilderness after his baptism. And that despite the fact that in our culture, when we're beginning new ventures, there's so much negative chatter that surrounds us. For Jesus, he goes into that wilderness time with the words on his heart, "You are my beloved. With you I am well pleased." So I invited you to hold that sentiment, that profound statement of faith in your hearts for whatever wilderness times you get called into. And then we reflected, since we had the beautiful chance to hear the reading of the Annunciation of Angel Gabriel to Mary, to reflect on when she was called into such an uncertain time. Her response was profound trust, captured in that simple but beautiful phrase, "Let it be done with me according to your will. Fiat." So this week, I'd like to reflect even further on how we can live even when we're so close to the promised land and we're facing more obstacles and more challenges. Yet another way that God, through the living word of the Holy Scriptures, teaches us to work with that time of uncertainty. A few years ago, I was given the journal that Dave Naur kept while he was going through treatment for a major sarcoma that he was diagnosed with. For those of you who haven't had the chance to meet Dave Naur, you probably have heard him if you hadn't met him. He plays the bagpipes. So if you live any place on the North Shore, for sure you've heard Dave Naur and his bagpipes. He used to sing in the choir here, is active in the Men's Fellowship, is a larger-than-life person who, when diagnosed with this incredible sarcoma, went immediately up to Beth Israel Hospital to receive his treatments and actually ended up spending almost 5 weeks in and out of the hospital receiving chemotherapy, radiation therapy, and finally surgery to try to cope with the tumor. And thanks be to God, is cancer-free 5 years later. But as Dave was going through this journey and keeping this journal on the Caring Bridge website, he offered me and those who were following him a glimpse into his choice for living in that time of profound uncertainty, physical discomfort, and intense emotional fear. A few of the things that Dave shared that really stuck with me were his decision to create beautiful and meaningful routines each and every day in his life, even while he was in the hospital for almost 5 weeks. He brought in a special coffee that he really loved and had got permission to brew his own coffee and read the newspaper while watching the chemo drip into him every single morning that he was in the hospital. He chose to name his tumor. He named it Squishy because sarcomas are sort of soft tumors. And in naming it, it helped him to have a more, it sounds unusual, but a more personal relationship with the tumor so that he could focus on healing his body and not constantly being embattled against this cancer. He also, and I really wish I could have seen this at least one time, he also decided that since he was going up and down the elevator every day for various treatments, that on the way down in the elevator, he would play on the chanter of his bagpipe some victorious battle march so that, he said, so that Squishy was on notice that his time was limited. And then on the way back up in the elevator, he would play the chanter. And every time he played, the battle's over, to make sure Squishy knew the end. Of course, playing a bagpipe chanter rolling through the halls of a hospital got a lot of attention. And so in the space of fear and physical discomfort, Dave made a lot of friends, probably a lot of enemies too, but he doesn't mention that in the journal. He made a lot of friends who were intrigued by this man who was rolling through the hospital corridors playing bagpipe chanter. And so in his journal, he writes about Solomon, who is an African emigre who was his transportation aide almost every time, and Domingo, who helped to clean his room. And even in the midst of so much intense personal sorrow, to learn about their lives, to learn that one of his caregivers was also a surfer and a hunter like him, to continue to forge relationships even in times of such deep uncertainty. Now, Dave is also human, and so he certainly, his journals have times of incredible despair and darkness and deep pain. After his surgery, he had pain that he described as knives stabbing into his armpit because of a huge blood clot that developed around the wound. So his decision to focus on these everyday miracles in his life that he was experiencing in the hospital did not take away the darkness, did not take away the pain or the fear or the uncertainty, but it gave his heart and his mind and his soul the hope to guide him through those difficult times. When when the Hebrew people are traveling for all of those years in the wilderness, they had daily miracles to sustain them. And yet they show us what happens to all of us. We end up grumbling and complaining about the uncertainty, about wanting to get to the promised land, instead of focusing on the miracles that God is constantly sending to us, constantly promising us, and delivering in a huge number of ways. So when we find ourselves or our loved ones in these times of uncertainty, even if we feel that we are getting close to the promised land, there may be even more hurdles that we need to overcome until we actually get into a place of peace and of harmony in our lives. If we can remember during all of that time that God is constantly pouring miracles into our lives, we have the chance to experience God's peace while we are still uncertain and afraid, not thinking that it will only come when we get to the promised land. In the gospel lesson, Jesus tells us that he sends his disciples ahead of him, which is a wonderful image, except that that's really scary. Even if Jesus was right behind them, the disciples couldn't know that. He wasn't literally following all 72 around. His spirit was with them. But whenever God sends us out, when Abraham is sent forward from his land with Sarah, God goes behind them. We so desperately want to be able to see and to touch and to know that God is companioning us at every minute of the day. And the only way for us to do that is to consciously cultivate the practice of noticing the everyday miracles that God sends into your lives. So whether it's upon waking and sleeping, or each time you bless the food that we are so grateful to receive and to consume, I encourage you to have the discipline of counting 10 discrete things that you are thankful for at that moment. Disrupting the fear, disrupting the worries, disrupting the anxiety or the anger or the frustration or the I'm sick of this mind stream. And focusing on gratitude, focusing on God and the miracles in your life, are the surest way that you'll come to the promised land.